I know, ladies and gentlemen, you've been hearing quite a bit about substance abuse and from various perspectives, on the radio, on TV, you've been reading about it in the papers, etc. It is an ongoing problem. I am so glad that you're here with me, your host, Carl Thornton Jr., host of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., as I get ready to speak with Ms. Laura Harker, who's with the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute, another nonpartisan organization. You've heard from several of their experts who have spoken with us previously. We get to hear from Laura Harker as she talks with us about substance abuse and some concerns about Georgia's funding in helping with or not helping with treatment and prevention. Ms. Laura Harker, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well, too, and I appreciate you for joining me to talk about this.
Yes, thanks for having me. It's a very timely issue with the increasing attention to the opioid epidemic, as well as there's a lot of work on the state as well as looking at children's mental health, so it's a timely topic.
Very timely topic. And are you tying those two in together, substance abuse and children's mental health? Or are you looking at those as basically two different issues?
They are two different issues, but both of them, the common thread is that both substance abuse and mental health conditions are treated through behavioral health care services, and that's what you think of like counseling or rehabilitation programs, psychotherapy. So all those services are more addressed to the mental health needs of people as well as substance abuse needs of people.
So that said, you mentioned opioids, and that has been the talk of the country for some months now. And if you would, bring us up to speed, just kind of recap for us why this issue of opioid use and abuse has become front and center when it comes to discussions about drug abuse.
I think overall, just looking at the data, we've seen a large increase in overdose deaths related to opioids. In Georgia, for example, we've seen a sharp increase. The drug overdose deaths increased from 2012 by about 35% to 2016. And about 70% of those deaths are related to opioids. So opioids are a major driver of the drug overdose epidemic that we've been seeing. And you also are seeing an increase within the opioid usage and heroin use. So opioids really became a bigger issue when you saw people getting prescribed pain medications and at high rates. Often from one doctor, they may get prescribed a medication and the other doctor will prescribe them the same thing. There's not a conversation between the different physicians. So some people are being overprescribed those opioid prescription pain medicines, and then they get addicted to it very easily. And so some people turn to heroin because it's more easy to get on the street and it's a little bit cheaper to help them to continue to keep up with that opioid pain addiction that they experience from those pain medications.
So is the finding that a lot of the people who are abusing opioids are doing so primarily because they are trying to deal with whatever pain has led to the very use of it in the first place, prescribing of it, and or is the issue that a lot of people, as you mentioned, are just addicted and they get to a point where pain is not the primary concern that they have, but just getting whatever other sensations and pleasures they're getting out of the use of the drug becomes the primary focus?
Yeah, typically it starts with people getting a pain medication prescribed to them. But then, yeah, as you're saying, a lot of people to help to continue to cope with that addiction turn to other drugs that are not prescribed, so like heroin or fentanyl and other synthetic drugs, and that can lead to a lot more long-term damage for them when they're turning into these other harder drugs.
And the good news, Laura, is that a lot of attention is being given to drug abuse, and we're hearing a lot of talk about trying to come up with ways to address it and to help the people who are abusing drugs. Now, is that fight something that's taking place only when it comes to opioid use? And it's terrible that we have so many deaths that are part of the consequence of this abuse. But are we looking at all the other issues that go along with drug addiction and trying to battle drug abuse, period, whether it's opioids, whether it's cocaine, whether it's crack, whether it's methamphetamines, and trying to help everyone with regards to prevention and treatment? Or is the focus specifically on opioids?
I would say the increased attention on drugs, overdose, and substance abuse generally has been because of opioids and the fact that the community more affected by opioids is more white and rural compared to when we had such a big crack cocaine epidemic, and that was largely Black people, people of color, and urban communities. And it was more the response then was to send people into jails or to prisons. And we've seen a lot more work to decriminalize substance abuse issues. I think that the growing attention around opioids and it being more of a white face has gotten more lawmakers and especially the federal administration more interested in solutions that don't involve sending people into jail or prisons. So we've seen a lot more emphasis on treatment and also a little bit more on prevention. We're trying to do a little bit more with that at the state level and try to advocate for some more funding to do more prevention so people are not being or becoming addicted to these pain medications or to other drugs and have some alternatives.
So is the good news then that not only are people who are potentially opioid users or they are opioid users, in other words, not only residents of the white rural communities being mm-hmm. targeted for prevention and treatment, but the other drug users, Black and urban, et cetera, are also being targeted, or are they handling this in such a way that they are really narrowing it down to only white rural substance abusers and potential users who get the funding for prevention and treatment?
I would say that the programs and the funding is definitely statewide and spread out. I know with the programs the state has around supported housing, that looks at providing housing vouchers and subsidies to people with substance abuse issues so they have a stable place to live, as well as connecting them with services. And so you see a lot of formerly homeless people that are able to get housing as well as get services for their addictions. And so I think that the funding and the programs are being directed towards different types of drug use issues, not just opioids. But I think the attention to the issue is just increased. But I think the services are not targeted just towards rural areas or white areas. It's really statewide.
That's good news, because that's what has always been needed, rather than, you know, this so-called war on drugs, which is really a war, has always been a war on the drug users and a war on the drug dealers. And certainly it's not to say that people should be allowed to deal the drugs, use the drugs, and there are no consequences. But if we can see the place for compassion when opioid use becomes the problem and white rural America is the one dogged by the problem, then and drug use is drug use. Drug abuse is drug abuse. And so if there's room for compassion, then there was always room for compassion. It's just the way that a lot of our people, including a lot of our politicians, choose to address the situation. I'm glad they're opening up prevention and treatment for everyone. You mentioned funding, and the funding is so important, because without the funding, prevention and treatment almost don't have a chance. And one of the things that you mentioned in your writing is that insurance coverage is something that can be used to help people with substance abuse issue. Where does insurance coverage come in?
So Georgia still has the second highest uninsured rate. And part of that is because under the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, we didn't expand our Medicaid program to more adults who are under the poverty line. And that opportunity still exists now without the repeal of ACA or Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act is still law, so we still have the opportunity to expand coverage, and that's been successful in a lot of other states. They've been able to connect people with more substance abuse services and also to connect people with more mental health services by having coverage for them. And so that's an important piece. It's a good first step is having people covered so they are able to afford those services. And then in tandem with that, strengthening the services that are actually available around them. But the first step really is the coverage, and that's an important piece.
So is there any indication that our state legislators are rethinking this and at least giving more serious consideration to expanding Medicaid in Georgia?
We're definitely seeing some more comments from legislators looking at trying to do their own style of expansion. It wouldn't be a standard expansion as envisioned under the law. It could include some barriers or things that we see as barriers really in other states for people getting coverage, such as requiring premiums or co-payments or requiring people to work. And those that we have seen have really decreased enrollment in other states. But I think lawmakers are open and know that there needs to be some type of solution here to increase care in some way. So I think we'll be seeing some type of movement towards potentially a Medicaid waiver, is what they're calling it, to try to look at getting more coverage.
I tell you what, it definitely seems like the way to go, especially if our leaders genuinely care about all of the people of the state that they represent. One of the things that you mentioned too, though, Laura, is, and this takes us back to where you began, you talked about behavioral health care and how that the mental health ties in with substance abuse. And one of the things that you're recommending is integration of behavioral health care with primary care services. How would that work, and how would it help Georgia citizens?
Well, we know that with primary care, especially in rural areas, that those areas are more likely to already have a primary care physician or a nurse practitioner. And also when you come in to see your physician, they're not greeting you for any behavioral health conditions or asking you about depression or anxiety or just anything going on with your mental health or your drug use habits. And so by integrating in behavioral health services with your primary care visit, during that primary care visit, you would be screened for different concerns around behavioral health, and that could refer you to see a counselor, a psychologist, or a substance abuse treatment facility. So trying to really look at the whole person when they come in for a primary care visit is really important to better communicate all of your health needs, not just your physical health needs.
I love it, and who better than the one who has that, who's on the front lines with the people who come in to see them. Laura, anything else that we need to consider?
That is all. I think that if everyone can continue to share their stories about healthcare, and we have a coalition that is working on trying to expand coverage in the state called the Cover Georgia Coalition. And you can find us online at coverga.org, and hope you will join us in the advocacy.
And that's coverga.org?
Yes.
All right. In order to persuade our legislators to get on board with this?
Yes.
Excellent, because that's what we need. And that was definitely the final question I was going to ask, is whether or not it would even be a move that we, the people, should make, and that is contacting our leaders. So again, that's coverga.org?
Yes.
All right, excellent. Miss Laura Harker, thank you again so much for joining me, and thanks for speaking with me about, as you mentioned, this very timely subject.
Thank you so much.
Quite welcome. All right, everyone, stay with me. I'll be right back.
Okay.